You can sometimes feel very trapped when you're living in your comfort zone. So, yeah, a comfort zone for me is not a safe place.
Welcome to Inspiration Rising. My name is David Trotter, and I'm a business growth consultant. I'm passionate about helping business owners just like you rise above your biggest barriers to reach your greatest goals, all without the paralyzing overwhelm, feeling all alone, or wondering what the heck to do next. I'm a former pastor and a serial entrepreneur who's passionate about personal growth because that's what's helped me cultivate peace in my life and empowered me to love my amazing wife, Laura, of 26 years, and our two almost grown kids. So if you're all about business, personal growth, and peace in your life, you're in the right place. I'm super glad that you're here. Hello, friends, and welcome back to Inspiration Rising. Dave Trotter here, your host, and I'm honored that you would spend a few minutes of your week with me. Hey, you know, in preparation for introducing our guest today, my mind was taken back to 1989. Yes, long time ago, I was 16 years old, and my family and I were packing all of our belongings up in Kentucky to move to California. Yes, because my parents had a vision of starting a church in the area where my dad had finished his high school years. And I was very popular in Kentucky the last 2 weeks, let me tell you, because I was moving to California, the land of beaches and babes. And oh, yeah, it was going to be amazing. I showed up and we moved to this town called Lodi. Lodi is pretty much more known for cows and vineyards. I did not write home and tell them that there were no beaches or babes. I just kind of was like, yeah, it's great. Well, one of the biggest challenges that I had in moving to a foreign country, I'm telling you, California is a foreign country compared to Kentucky. You should know that I had an accent, I dressed different, I had different interests. How was I going to find friends? How was I going to connect? It was really hard. That was one of the hardest summers of my life, is making this transition. Now, imagine that you're actually moving to a foreign country and you don't know anyone. How are you going to develop relationships? How are you going to ask people where to get your oil changed, where to find the organic produce that you want, where to find a deal on, right, fill in the blank? Well, it's difficult. Our guest today, Allie Meehan, she had this experience over and over again because she traveled the globe for her job. And so she went to all these different places. She had to develop new friendships. And when she finally landed in Spain, she thought to herself, you know, I should really do something about this, not just for me, but for the thousands of other women who moved to Spain or are planning to move to Spain, and they need friendship and support. So she launched a social networking community called Costa Women. Costa Women. And it is now the largest social networking community online for women living in or planning on moving to Spain. Amazing that she's been able to meet this need not only for herself, but for thousands of other women. So I think you're going to find this conversation very fascinating because it will give you a glimpse into not only how we need community, but what would it look like for you to build a business around creating community for other people, around a specific niche or a specific interest? You may already have an interest or a niche that you are so passionate about. And if you thought about what would it look like for me to create community around that and serve those people and actually cultivate a business out of it, Allie Meehan is going to inspire you. All right, hey, by the way, if you enjoyed this episode or any of the episodes you listen to on Inspiration Rising, will you please spread the word? That is the number one way where people find out about our podcast is by you simply going, hey, have you heard about Inspiration Rising? Pulling out your phone, showing them the logo, tell them, hey, open up your podcast app. Come on, search for Inspiration Rising, hit subscribe. You're going to love this. Check out Allie Meehan. She's an incredible woman. You got to listen to this episode. Hey, that would be an amazing thing if you would be willing to do that, because that is one of the ways that people find out about our show. All right, hey, let's jump into this conversation with Allie Meehan. Well, Allie, thanks so much for taking time to hang with me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me. It's very exciting to be here.
Yeah, you have such a fascinating story. I know there are a lot of people like you that travel the globe and work in different places, but that's not the majority of people, right? That's a smaller segment of our world's population. And so maybe if you wouldn't mind, just give us a little bit of your journey of all the places you've worked and what you've done and what led you to live in Spain.
Sure. I mean, I think we all have a choice, don't we? So my choice was to do a lot of traveling. So I've lived in Australia initially. That was my first foray into living overseas. And did manage to get a job there and worked there for a while. But then my father had Alzheimer's, so I ended up coming back to England and spending more time with him. And then that just really set about an interest in different cultures, although my parents had lived overseas, so that was probably in the blood, as it were, or in my DNA. To live overseas. So they'd lived in various different countries. But from coming back to England after living in Australia, I actually got headhunted for a job that was as an export manager. So I ended up traveling all sorts of different places as an export manager as part of my job, including back to Australia and New Zealand, but other parts of the globe as well, and really enjoyed that. And then that was for a glass wholesaler. So we sold container glass around the world, and then got another position, but this time with business development consultants in the oil and gas industry in the Middle East. So the first day of my working with that particular company, we had this lovely office in a very nice part of the UK in Surrey. The very first day, the big boss came in who owned the company and fired the man that had just hired me within 5 minutes of my arrival.
Way.
And this was 2000. So this was really early on because he'd just been to an e-business seminar that said, going forward, nobody's going to work in offices. Everybody's going to work from home. That was 2000. So that was very foresighted of him. And he just said, we're going to close this office. If you want to stay on and help us close the office, you can do that. So I haven't got anything else to do. So I stayed on and then started saying, can I go for job interviews? And he said, no, we want you to stay on with the company. You've got to work from home. I'll make you a director. And then we took it from there. So I was probably one of the first people in my town to have a dial-up connection. I don't know if you remember that awful noise.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
That horrible noise it used to make. And just started working from home for the company, who were based mainly in Dubai. We were one of the first companies in Dubai, Internet City. Dubai created like micro cities for businesses so that they were free zones, so you didn't actually have to have a local Emirati or Arab person as a sponsor. So we started the company there. And then just traveled out there 4 times a year. Met my husband, who wasn't my husband, obviously, but met my husband, and he was already living in Spain. So I just said, can I move my home base to Spain? And they said, yes. And then they said, we want you to move out to the Middle East. So we both moved out to the Middle East and lived there for nearly 5 years. And then things started changing globally. We made a decision to leave the Middle East and resign from both of our job positions that we had. But then decided that a friend of ours said, could we help him with his business in Thailand? So we moved to Thailand and lived there for nearly a year in Phuket before coming back to Spain again. So Spain, we've been back since 2010 in Spain. And that really is my roller coaster work journey, but very much staying open to job opportunities and to things that come up all the time. In fact, when we ended up moving to the Middle East, they asked me to move out there and I really didn't want to do it. But my husband was reading this wonderful book, Who Moved My Cheese? I don't know
sure,
if you've
sure.
read it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So he was reading that book at the time and said, you know, someone's moved our cheese, let's go and find it. So that's what we did. So we went to find the cheese in the Middle East. And funny enough, we were on a chiringuito on the beach. So we were at a beach bar. And behind the desk of the beach bar, they had Who Moved My Cheese in Spanish at the same time. So there was a bit of a sign.
But that's so fun.
Yeah, but I think it's always staying open to opportunities and not saying no immediately, just giving things a go, because what's the worst that can happen?
I love the very first thing that you said was, it really is a choice what we want to do with our lives or where we want to live. And I think that so many of us have these limiting beliefs, right? These limiting thoughts that think, well, I've always grown up here. I probably should just live here. And that's in a town, you know, or I don't have the education to do that, or I've never been there before, or what if something happens, or, you know, my family doesn't do that type of thing. Or, the list goes on of all the limiting beliefs.
Yep.
If somebody has, let's just say a lack, I mean, because the jobs that you're talking about are not, they don't seem like simple jobs here, right? You know what I mean? Like, these are not things that people are just easily applying for. You had to work your way into these positions in different ways.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts for all those limiting beliefs or lies that people are believing about staying stuck? You know what I mean? In the location and or job that they have.
Yeah. I mean, the world is changing. We've certainly seen that in the last year and a half, haven't we? How differently the world is changing and how many more people are actually able to go online and work from anywhere in the world. And I think it's having that mindset that says, I'm not going to live with that fear anymore, that I can't do something. And taking the word can't out of your dictionary almost, and saying, well, let me try it. My husband and I have this thing where if we're facing something that's slightly daunting, we say, well, look in the mirror and say to yourself, what's the worst thing that can happen? And that's never as bad. The worst thing that can happen never happens, does it? It's always a huge fear that we have that something terrible is going to happen. And it very rarely, if never, happens as bad as we imagine it to be. So it's accepting that. Because a comfort zone is not a safe place to be. Nothing ever happens to you when you're living in your comfort zone. It's not, and it's not necessarily a comfortable place to be. You can sometimes feel very trapped when you're living in your comfort zone. So, yeah, a comfort zone for me is not a safe place. Mm-hmm.
I love worst case planning. Some people hate that, but I just love asking my clients that, like, okay, let's talk about what's the absolute worst case scenario. Well, usually it comes down to I'll be destitute in my car or something. Absolute worst. And I'm like, okay, so do you have any family members that you could live with if you really got down that low?
Yeah.
Or will our friends? Okay, great. Do you think you won't have any way to make money at all? Like, you, well, no, I'm sure I could get a job at like Starbucks or a grocery store. Okay, great. So it's really not that bad, is it? You know.
Yeah. And you've still got the car to live in. It would be really bad if you lost the car. So you still have got ways to make money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have so many opportunities. Yeah. Yeah. And really, it becomes, oftentimes it seems like a question of values. What do you value more? Because let's just say your family lives in a certain place and you go, well, I don't want to move away from my family. I go, okay, well, do you value living closer to your family than, you know, having this other experience? And it's not right, wrong, good, or bad. It's just more of going, what do you value more of? Or can you have maybe a taste of each, that you could go live somewhere else for a portion of time and then come back and your family, obviously I'm not talking about your husband and kids, talking maybe. that's a different conversation, obviously. Yeah. I value staying married more than living in. Yeah. Okay, well, that's probably a good idea. Might want to value it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think we do have opportunities, and it isn't right for everybody. You know, there's people that come here on holiday where I live in Spain, and they say, but you're so lucky that you get to live this life. But they don't realize you actually work pretty hard, and you don't have that opportunity to go to the beach every single day, whereas they're living a holiday dream. So when they move here, they may think it's going to be just like it was when I was on holiday, and sadly it's not. So there's a bit of a reality check that comes then when they've imagined what it might be like. But it is enjoying the experience. It's enjoying the culture. It's enjoying being part of something that's much bigger than you. But then also realizing this world is actually quite a small place. And you quite often bump into people, even when you're halfway across the world, that you know, or they know someone that knows you. So, and when you arrive in a place, start making connections with other locals within the area. You know, don't let yourself get isolated and lonely. Immediately start going through Meetup or having a look on Auntie Google to find, you know, local connections or Facebook that you can start connecting in with so that you aren't on your own.
Mm-hmm. Which sounds like kind of the reason why you started the website Coastal Women. So maybe if you could tell us about what is Coastal Women and why did you start this website to begin with?
Sure. Well, Coastal Women's a free website for women that are living in Spain or women that are thinking about moving to Spain. I really started it when we came back here in 2010, having seen a couple of models, one in Dubai and one in the Middle East, of women's networks that worked really well. But as a way to make friends, because when I lived here initially, it was because I was working from home, it was actually quite hard to make friends. And it was before social media had come along, so there wasn't any Facebook or ways of connecting like that. So it was really quite difficult to connect with other women around in the area. So that was why I decided to create it. And it's just really evolved and grown from there. It's a very organic growth with women recommending it to their friends or reading about us in the paper or seeing interviews or just finding out what we're doing and liking what we're doing, the events that we host.
And so when you started in 2010, what was the initial idea? What did you start with? Was it just like a bulletin board, kind of like a forum, or how did you, because it's morphed into something really large now.
Yeah, it has. Yeah. So I started it on a platform called Ning.com, which was a community platform, and started it using Ning because that was the one that the one in Thailand was on. So I'd seen how they used it and thought, well, that's a good website for community building. Community building then was quite new, 2010, really. There weren't that many community platforms around. Obviously, we're seeing a lot more of them now as a lot more businesses decide that actually it's quite a good thing to have a community platform. So it really was, it was more of a forum-based platform. And originally I thought it was just going to be an online website. I didn't imagine that we would start having local events, but quite quickly the ladies said, well, can't we meet up? So we started doing events then, and then it's grown from there. So for instance, last year, even with the lockdown, we still managed to do 230 online events, across, you know, didn't matter where the women were in Spain or whether they hadn't even arrived yet, they could still join in and be part of what we were doing. And those were either business events or social events, everything from a curry cooking class and Pilates online to business networking with women in other parts of the world as well. We did one, we've been doing one every month for the last 3 years with a women's network in New York City. So those continued regardless of any lockdowns or COVID happening. So it's really has morphed from the original Ning platform. I then put it on something called Social Engine, which again is very similar to Ning, but I'm now looking at maybe moving it to Mighty Networks or Circle.so. I'm just evaluating the two platforms, because they have more of an app functionality, which most people are getting used to now, aren't they, with technology. Mm-hmm.
And so the point, it sounds like it's much more relational oriented, either for people who live in Spain or they're thinking about moving to Spain. Are there business collaborations that happen because of it, or is it really just focused on kind of common interests? Like, I mean, what are some of the common interests, I don't know, that people connect around?
Yeah, so it's both, because women, I don't believe we're defined by our businesses. So I try to get them to to join in the social tasks as well, because people buy from people they know, like, and trust, don't they? Especially overseas, because that can be even more daunting. When you're buying a service from somebody who you're in a completely different country, that can be quite challenging. So it's very much around relationships, because businesses are built around relationships. But on the social side, golf is a great one. Women that are playing golf or reading. We've got a very active book club. In fact, the book club were the first members of Costa Women. They were a book club that I was going to, and I asked them if they would join the website and try it out, and they were the very first members. So that's been going since the beginning. So that's 10 years that's been going. And it's just whatever communities the women want to build, you know, like niche communities within the whole element of Costa Women. They're very welcome to build their own little niches and for women to come along and join them. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of collaboration, particularly with women that are just moving to Spain, and maybe they're launching a new product or service within Spain that they've had it before in their own country, or they've never had a business before. So there's that space for them to do that as well, and to get support around those, around their businesses.
Mm-hmm. If someone's listening and thinks, wow, I've been, you know, maybe I've got a Facebook group around my business, or around maybe it's just a common interest. What would be the value of creating something off of, you know, Facebook or Instagram to create something like Costa Women? What would be the value of that? You know what I mean? Versus yeah. Facebook.
We don't own Facebook data. So it's very simple. If Facebook decide one day that they're going to shut you down, you've lost all of your followers, you've lost all of your community, you've lost everything. And it's happening quite frequently at the moment. Nobody seems to know why, but I've got quite a few friends who it's happened to in the last few days. They've lost their business pages, they've lost their profile, and then they're having to start from scratch again. So actually, my top tip at the moment for everybody is get another administrator onto your page. Someone that's may not necessarily be connected to you, but that can just be there, so that if Facebook closes your personal profile down, you haven't lost your group and your business page, because they're connected to it as well. But yeah, the fact that social media, we don't own any of the platforms, so you're much better off having your own website with the community there. So what we do have a lot of Facebook groups. We have 38, because we have one for each of the regions that we're in, because people are still mainly on Facebook. It's beginning to change a bit as more community platforms are coming up, but people still like, you know, they're on Facebook every day for whatever reason, so it's just easier if we're still there as well. So what we do is we actually, when they ask to join the group, we say, have you registered on the website first? And then once they register on the website, they can come and join the group. And that's the easiest way around it, so that we haven't lost them as a member. And I'm seeing quite a lot the last 18 months, I've seen quite a lot of women that are leaving social media for whatever reason. So they've still got the website that they can engage with and find out the events as well, so that we haven't lost them as members.
Mm-hmm. And that's the challenge that I hear from people, is like, well, people are already on Facebook, so why should I have my own membership platform? What's the percentage of interaction or content would you say for Costa Women that's on Facebook versus your own website?
There's a lot more on Facebook, and even more on Instagram. Twitter is my favorite platform, but I've discovered that most of my members aren't really using it. So you have to go where your members are. But it's just to have a backup plan. So the interaction is much higher on Facebook, because that's where the ladies are. Mm-hmm. But I do try and encourage them to post the same content on the website for the women that aren't on Facebook. And also the blog and the events are available out. They don't need to register on the website to read the blogs or look at the events. So they can add their own events to the website. So they're not restricted then to people that can are just members. Anybody then can see it. And we have very good SEO because we've been around for 10 years. So it's worth them adding their blogs and then we share them on social media too. Mm-hmm.
Do you have courses on the website or is it mainly just interaction?
No, we have courses, events, classifieds, jobs, groups, all sorts of different things. Yeah, so a real gambit of, very like Facebook really, but a real gambit of everything.
And what are the courses related to? Like how to interact in Spain or how to move there? Or is it more interest-based?
No, there's things like moving to Spain. I've got my own website that I set up a few years ago called Spain Expo, which was set up with a friend of mine who wanted to move to Spain and she had lots of questions. So she said, let's create our own online course. I get my questions answered. And then we've got a platform at the end of it. So that's one platform that we've created. Then I myself have got a coaching business. So I've got my coaching courses on there, which are around growth. I know that you're a growth coach. So they're around women particularly, helping them to grow their businesses. And then the members can add their own events and there promote their courses that maybe they're running. So we've done all sorts of courses like Facebook courses, Twitter. We're just about to hear from somebody about TikTok. Because none of us are sure whether we should be there, but apparently their video functionality is really good. So even if you don't use it as a platform, using to download the videos is well worth it. Clubhouse, we haven't really gone to yet because we've got a lot of members that have got Androids rather than iPhone. So once they develop it a bit further, then maybe we'll go to Clubhouse. But it really is... And that's the same with any business. There's no point in you using a particular platform if your customers aren't using it. As much as you might love it as a platform, it's just going to be a waste of your time.
Sure, sure. You mentioned that you have your own business, coaching or consulting business, in addition to Costa Women. Is that because you are passionate about that or it's just a matter of kind of monetization? You need both of those things in your life?
No, it's a real passion of mine because I can see I've obviously had a long career and lots of different experiences. And I think it's a waste not to use the skills that I've learned and pass them on to women who are just maybe starting out their own businesses. And one thing I see, particularly at the moment, everybody's leaping on this course creation idea. Maybe monetizing, a hobby and putting everything online, but without actually looking first to see if they've got a concept that people want to buy. So what we, with the course that I run through Avenue, we actually get women to find their audience first, so really know who their niche is first, and then ask their niche what they're looking for, and then... ask them questions around, would you be prepared to pay for that particular service? And then build the platform, then build the course. So reverse engineer it, really, because you could, and women are particularly bad at launching websites because they want it to look 100% correct and all the buttons to be working. And it, they're more concerned about the color of the logo than they are actually about who their ideal client is. So it's really... reversing it and spending time understanding what your customers' pain points are and then building something that meets those pain points.
Mm-hmm. You said this course is through Avenue, which I had not known about this company prior to meeting you. Tell me a little bit more about that and how you're connected to it.
Sure. So Avenue was created by a lady called Tina Villan. She's originally from Finland, but she lives in Sweden with her family. And she created it exactly what I was just saying for having a concept that sells. She was actually working, she had her own interior design business and people loved the way that she was marketing her interior design business and started asking her if she could help them with their marketing. so that she then got their feedback on what they wanted and then started creating the courses based on what they were looking for. So that was why she created Avenue as a coaching business, because she was really building it with whatever people were asking her to deliver. Mm-hmm. So that's how it started. Yeah.
And then there are kind of Avenue certified coaches like yourself that then offer other services.
Yeah. We all obviously, there's all sorts of different courses that we can deliver. We've got circles now as well, so women can join in the membership on we host like an implementation lab so they can learn how to learn new skills. And then there's all sorts of different bits. It's growing quite rapidly at the moment to meet the need of what's happening in the market.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that that I know you're passionate about is kind of long-term planning, like looking at, okay, where is my business? Where is my market moving? Why is that? Well, I guess I shouldn't say why is that important to you, but more of like, how have you utilized that approach to long-term planning, both in Coastal Women and maybe in your coaching business? And how's that been helpful for you?
So I think if you've got a vision for where you're going, you're more likely to get there. Whereas if you're just being reactive on a day-to-day basis and just meeting the crisis that's happening on a day-to-day basis, then you're less likely to actually get to a goal at the end of the day. For instance, a to-do list isn't really something that we can be working off because it's not in an order of preference. It doesn't give you a set time by which you've got to finish the list.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can have rocks, stones, and pebbles, which is one way of breaking up your to-do list, but it still doesn't give you a deadline by which time you've got to finish certain tasks. So I think it's really crucial to have, as part of the course that I do, as part of the Activate course, we actually set out we work together to work out what your 10-year goal is going to be. And it may be that in 10 years you want to have sold the business and maybe you're going to be a creative director of the business and have more of a backseat. But if you know that's you're going to be your end goal, then you can work back and then work out the vision for 3 to 5 years. And then with that, work out what your goals for the year are going to be, and then work back to that for 90 days, what your 90-day planning is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody says, man, I don't know what the market's going to do in the next even 5 years, this feels overwhelming to think about, 10 years. I'm just trying to pivot based on what happens in the market in the next, 90 days. Like what is your response to that?
I think this last, the last year has shown people that it is difficult to know what's going to happen. But people, at the end of the day, they've gone back to buying. There may have been a gap when they weren't buying products or services, but they've gone back to buying. And you can always, you do have a 10-year goal, but you're not saying, on this date, this will have happened. So you can adapt it to what's happening in the marketplace. And if you know that in 10 years you want to sell the business, that isn't reliant on what's happening in the global world economy. Mm-hmm. You know that in 10 years you want to have retired, mm-hmm. or be a creative director. So within the next 9 years, you can then work out how you're going to actually be able to develop that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is possible, but it's actually having that end goal in sight, that you know that there's going to be something at the end of it that you want to have worked towards, maybe an income goal, maybe maybe you want to have moved to another country in 10 years. I mean, that could be a goal that you work on, and that the business then needs to facilitate you being able to do that.
Mm-hmm. What is your 10-year goal, let's just say, for Coastal Women? What are you working toward?
Yeah, I think I will be, it probably will have moved on to someone much younger, because in 10 years' time, I will be at the stage where the world is, I think the world is going to start changing quite quickly now. So I think to keep up to date with all the new platforms and social media type platforms, because I'm sure there's going to be some new platforms that they're going to start creating that will overtake Facebook. I would still like to be a creative director. I love creating things. I love creating paper products, even though we're in an IT world. I still love creating paper products. I created a planner every year for the last 4 years. So, but I think probably more the creative director role, and have young people that are actually managing it and enjoying, you know, the experience and learning.
That's great. That's great. So let's just go back. One last question. If someone's listening and they're thinking, okay, yes, I do have this dream that involves something that's far beyond where I'm at now. You know, it's moving to another country. It's having this different job. It's having this different financial. And you're saying to me, it's just a choice. I feel so overwhelmed by the choices. Where do I start? Where do I start in even heading down that path?
So I think take small steps. Like I'm saying about the 10-year goal, you could have a goal for like 5 years. This is what I want to do. This is where I want to be living. But you can gradually start moving towards those steps. So make yourself open to opportunities happening. Start putting feelers out. Particularly if you're thinking about moving to another country, say, you could start making connections already in that country and find out if there are opportunities for you, for what you do, whether your business would succeed there. If you've got children, find out about the schooling within that country, and just start putting the feelers out. There's nothing that won't cost you anything, you know, to actually start doing the research. And I think research is really important and a much underused tool by many people. It's very important to know what it's going to be like when you do, say, move overseas or move up to the next level with a career. So I think it's really good to do that research. Podcasts are brilliant. Books are brilliant. All different ways of learning what it could be like with where you're thinking of going with your life and your business.
It's literally easier than it's ever been to do any of those things, because we have just the internet right at our fingertips of people explaining where it is or connecting with people. You could talk to 20 people in the town you were thinking about moving to via Zoom for free.
Yeah, exactly. We were saying yesterday, actually, that we can remember when we were younger, if you wanted to find out something, you probably had to go and look in the Encyclopedia Britannica to find out information or go to the library. Now you just pick up your phone and put in a question, and it's your answer's there.
It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. And I think technology is going to improve more and more. So I think this is, you know, it's, you can see how much has been developed over the whole last 18 months. So I'm sure there's going to be huge developments going forward.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a course that you teach online called Activate Your Growth. Tell me about that course and who that would be a good fit for.
So it's a 4-week course, but it's only 2 hours a week. And it's mainly aimed at women that have already got the seed of an idea for their business and are thinking about launching it, or they've launched it and they really want to put in place a structure for their business. Maybe they're feeling a bit overwhelmed with what's happening at the moment, and they need to really get back to basics and put in place a structure for their business and put in place rituals. By rituals, I don't mean sitting around a campfire burning a candle. I mean weekly rituals that they can put in place for their business to know whether their business is successful, to know whether they're bringing in money. If they're not bringing in money, how can they fix it before it gets too much of a snowball and they've gone too far and it's really difficult to pull it back.
Awesome. So it's called Activate Your Growth. And the link for everyone listening is in the show notes. So you can either swipe up on your phone and you'll find the link there, or you can go to our website, inspirising.com/Ali Meehan, and you'll find the links there as well. So Ali, thank you so much for taking time to share your story. Super inspiring, all that you've been able to do, and all literally thousands of women are benefiting from your work. And so thank you so much.
Thank you, David. Thanks for having me.
Hey, congrats on listening to another episode of Inspiration Rising. Why congrats? Because you're pouring education and inspiration into your mind and heart. And that's something we all need if we're going to grow our businesses and reach our goals in life. Now, if you enjoy Inspiration Rising, do us a favor, share it with a friend. Take a screenshot of your favorite episode and text it to them. Tell them to search for Inspiration Rising on their favorite podcast app and click subscribe. I want you to know today that you're inspired, empowered, and loved. Not because of the way you feel or what anyone else says about you, but because that's your true identity.